Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Metaphysical Hour. Today is January 27th, I think it is, 2017, and I'm Julia Cannon, and so happy to be with you all. Tonight we have a really fun show. I'm really excited about my guest tonight. First, I want to make a few announcements. Let's see, what do we have coming up? This is January. I have to always think about, okay, where are we? January, February, March. March, we have classes coming up in Manchester, England. I'll be over there doing a conference, and we'll be doing some classes around that in Manchester. So a lot of stuff going on in Manchester, the whole gamut of classes. So if you are in the area or want to be in the area, please come on over and join me. So look on the website, DoloresCannon.com or QHHTOfficial.com, and see what we have going on. There are still some spaces available, so come on over and join us. Always things going on there. And remember, you can always take the level one class online and then do everything that we'll be doing there, subsequent things for us, you know, with us. Okay, so let's carry on with what we've got tonight. My special guest tonight is Tracy Mahan. And Tracy, it was so funny. You know, I know all these things you do, but I wanted to give you like a proper welcome because as far as bringing you in and everything. And it was like, okay, well, let's see. What do you do? And it was almost like, what don't you do? My gosh. It's like, okay, everybody. Tracy, the psychic medium, clairvoyant, hypnotherapist, QHHT practitioner. That's where our paths crossed, okay? A family coach, NLP practitioner, a Reiki master, and a radio show host. So it's like, is there anything else up your sleeves? Oh, you're a mother.
Yep, I'm a mom. I grew up on a farm, so, you know, there was a lot of tricks up my sleeve for, you know, raising animals, too. So I can change my own oil. I have spark plugs. It goes on and on. Thank you for that. I'm going to confirm with you, though, that it is January 27th. You said, I think, and I had to look, and I think it is, too. Yeah.
I know. Isn't that something how we do that? It's like, I you know, I don't know many days. I don't know.
Yeah.
Because time is nothing anymore.
I know. What day is it? And does it matter?
It doesn't. It really doesn't. But welcome. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
And this was such a fun thing. Oh, and I want to let everybody know you graciously agreed to doing this. I mean, one, this is a fun thing we're doing because, you know, I'm going to be on your show next week.
Right.
And then it was like, oh, I think this would be fun if you could be on my show this week. And then we could, you know, I have so much fun when I'm on your show. And then I thought, well, hey, why don't you be on mine? And
yeah, let's bring the crazy on over to your show.
Yeah, you know. and then, but the thing is, what's so nice is, my gosh, you have a client like immediately after the show. And it was like, oh, shoot, you know, that's rough, you know, whenever to squeeze this in. So thank you so much for squeezing us in.
Yeah. Well, it's not as rough as what you think it is. I have a workshop this weekend and I'm actually at the lodge that I'm holding the workshop in. And we have 6 o'clock dinner reservations. That's Pacific time. So that's the appointment. But it was like, do I go into all that with you or just tell you I have an appointment at 6?
So it's dinner.
It's dinner with friends.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. So that's, all right. So that's a little bit easier, but still, thank you so much. It's still, you know, very gracious of you.
Well, and I would like to say hi to those guys because they were going to try and find a way to listen and catch the show before our dinner date. So hello, if you guys did make it where you could all listen. Hello. So there
Absolutely.
It is.
Absolutely. Yes. How wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's fun. So I'm just sitting here sipping on my tea and looking forward to what kind of crazy subjects we can come up with to talk about tonight.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. Well, what I always like to do, first of all, is, you know, find out how you got into this crazy world of this, you know, because, you know, most of us are not born into it. Although when I was reading about you, you kind of, it looks like maybe you were. So, but let's find out, you know, because that's the fun part of this, is to see how everybody got into where they are, you know, how they fell into everything, you know, because look at this long list that you're doing and, right. and all these gifts that you have. And it's just like, how did they come upon you? So let's hear your story. You know, I mean, let's go back to the beginning. Where have we heard that before?
Yes.
Hear about your life.
Wait, are you regressing me? What's happening yes. right now? Go back, Tracy. Yeah. Just relax and breathe. Yes. So let's see. I had a lifetime in the pyramids. No, that's not it.
That was the other one.
No, you know, a lot of times what's really fun is, you know, I got started in this line of work, and I'll tell you how I did that. But first off, you know, once you kind of come out of the psychic closet and come out of, you know, these things that I do and announce it to the family, you start finding out where the gifts came from. You know, and I have my grandma on my mom's side, but she would be like, oh, yeah, I used to get things like that. I used to get hits, like, you know, get little hints, and is that the angels talking to me? Oh, you know, and so started to figure out that, you know, maybe grandma was a little bit psychic, but, you know, in her generation, you never claim that. You just yeah. wouldn't. You'd be put in a little funny jacket and put in a funny little padded room. And so anyways, but my mom is also very highly intuitive, very empathic. And for a while there, her and I would read together. And so I would get, I'm very visual. So I'd get all these visual confirmations and information coming in. And then she would get the emotional piece to it. And by the time we were done reading somebody, we were all in tears, you know, and this big emotional, wonderful moment would happen and a nice big shift. And we just knew that there was more to it than, you know, and growing up Catholic, that's such a, you know, a no-no zone to even use that word psychic, you know? And so it was kind of a, put my toes in the water, then go a little bit further. But how I got started, you know, there's a definite point where I realized I was doing it, you know, and then there's all those points where you didn't realize that's what you were doing until you look back at it and go, oh, so there was that. So I was working retail, and there was a gal there that I worked with that did dream analogy. And that was when I was about 19 years old. And so we would sit in the break room and talk about our dreams. And she got me journaling my dreams. And me and another gal and her, we'd get together and we'd talk about dreams and different things, and had a lot of fun with that. And it just really started opening doors. And then a couple of years later, that's when John Edwards started doing his television show where he would read the audience. And then you had James Von Prague, and both of them were kind of the first ones to kind of get out there with the television shows. And I just found myself so drawn to those. And I remember folding clothes in my bedroom thinking, man, I wish I could do that. That's so cool the way he helps people. And next thing I know, there's an advertisement for a psychic fair in my area. And this is so not like me, but I knew I had to go. And I had, at the time, I had two small kids, and I had one of those double stroller buggies. Let me tell you, that's not something you want to take out into a crowded place. And so I loaded them up in that big buggy, and we were cruising around, and I had somebody do a past life reading for me at that. And so I've always been into the past lives, and even in the dream analogy stuff that I was doing, it was past lives that were being revealed to me. So, you know, I had this guy do this past life reading for me, and synchronicity kept bringing me back into his path. And to this day, he's still a very dear friend of mine. And anyway, so that got me started. And then I brought my mom to the next one. We went to it again when they had it a few months later. And that's when we met the person that would be a little bit more pivotal in getting me on this path. And her name, I don't know if I won't give her name, but anyway, she did the Doreen Virtue angel card courses and stuff like that, and gave us an angel reading, and then told us about a group that they meet on Wednesday nights and invited us to join that. And we started going every Wednesday night, and it just absolutely, for both of us, just started opening those psychic doors, and synchronicity just kept it going. You know, then there was the hypnosis courses, the NLP courses, and then, of course, and the way I got to you, now, that story is kind of fun, because I went to a Body, Mind, Spirit Expo to do readings, and one of the gals that I do a radio show with now, we didn't know each other real well then, but she come walking up to me. She handed me your business card, and on the back of it was your website. And she said, I was driving to the expo today, and I was told that you're supposed to do this. I'm like, oh. And at the time, I was kind of like, I think I might have heard of these guys before. And so anyways, I, of course, checked that out. Well, synchronicity as it may be. So me being a single mom, not a huge cash flow coming in. It's more like, you know, the kids picking the quarters out of my purse all the time. You know, not a lot of extra money. So, I mean, I just love my story of getting to you guys, because I put the intention out there that I was going to get to take the course. And at the time, I think you just had started offering it online. I can't remember, but it seems like it hadn't been online very long at that point. And I had this guy call me for a session, for a reading, and he came in, and we started to, you know, I ended up taking him into a regression, and he kind of naturally just went to where we intentionally take them now. And I was just like, this is the stuff that I was told that was going to start happening. So I was talking to him about it. And he said, well, I want to do this again. Makes an appointment for the next week, shows up, hands me the money to take the course. He says, I got up this morning and I just, it was clear as a bell. I'm giving you the money. Go take that course. Kid you not. So here I am. So, so that's been a couple of years, and I just love it. You know, it's almost like there's just no other purpose for hypnotizing people. It's like, let's just take you here. It's all the answers right there. Let's just skip all the other stuff. So lots of journeys with people. Fascinating, fascinating stuff. Lots of information. I do have to say, one of the things that happened, and I don't know if this is common or not, or if this is just kind of one of the random things that happens in my life. But this same gentleman, I took him into the deeper subconscious, superconscious mind. Mm-hmm. And what started coming through was this really deep voice. And I was like, who am I talking to? And he said, well, in your world, you call us dragons. And we went from there. I was like, I am talking to a dragon? This is phenomenal. So, you know, without revealing his reading, his session, it was just one of those moments where I was just like, I have the coolest job on the planet.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No.
So anyways, I do think I'm special because I got to talk to a dragon, but you know, no, I'm just kidding. No, anyways, so that's my story, you know.
How many people can say that?
Not a lot, you know, and I, let me tell you, dragons can be serious. You know, and you know me, I've kind of got my little sarcastic sense of humor, and I was asking questions and I got put in my place. I was told this is not for you. This is his session. Oh, okay.
I love it.
Yeah. So anyways, I didn't get to ask all the questions I had for the dragon, but I did learn a lot. And according to the information that came in, the dragons were part of creation. So I don't know. I would love to know more.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh. Right?
Oh, man. I have questions.
I know.
Yeah.
Let's get him back into hypnosis. That was the last one I'd done with him. You know, and our paths keep crossing every once in a while. And it's funny. I know when he's going to contact me. Matter of fact, the last time he contacted me, I said, I've known for 3 days you were supposed to contact me. What took you so long? And he's like, I was procrastinating.
Yeah. Well, because we're talking about him, I bet he's going to contact you. But you said
yeah. Well, and if we get to do another dragon excursion here, I will make sure you know about it. And we'll get his permission to share it.
Yeah. So. Well, or Or if you do, get permission or get permission to ask the questions, you know, that you want, you know, where it's, you know, it's for.
now I know better to do that. And certain people that I know are going to go boom right into that. I'm like, and is it okay if I ask a few questions if that comes up? And they're like, oh, sure. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's good. It's good to ask permission. And otherwise you get put in your place. So. Oh,
But that's an important thing. That's an ethical thing as well. But it's
it is. Yeah. It's at the top of my list for tomorrow's workshop. Ask permission right off the top. So, yeah. But, the teachers that I have had, I feel very blessed because not everyone teaches you that. And my teachers have. I have been taught from the beginning, you always ask permission. So that's what I put out there too.
Yeah. Oh, they're saying this is a biggie. We need to move on. We need to keep on this for a little bit. Cause it's like somebody out there, actually more than one. It's like, oh gosh, this is a major biggie. Oh, okay. I guess it needs to get on the air. Maybe that's it.
Get on the air.
Yeah. As to why this is such a biggie. Okay?
Asking permission.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, do you want to talk about that? Or?
Well, we can both, you know, because, you know, this is a, you know, it's not, okay, what do you want to say?
Well, you're entertaining me. I just kind of wish we had the video conference going.
I know. I'm asking them what it is they're wanting to say, because it's like they're trying to come through, and I'm like, what? Well, what is it you want? How do you want to phrase this? You know, your guys are wanting to do this. Because it's like it's this whole ethical thing, and it's like how they want to frame it.
You know, the best way I describe it is, would you want someone going through your underwear drawer? Because, you know, you're getting into people's privacy, and it feels violating like that if Bingo. You don't ask permission.
Yeah.
So, you know, and here's the thing with some of those television shows, you know, you got some of these, and I had an experience with that where somebody showed up and wanted me to be the Long Island medium, and they don't understand that not everybody reads the same. It's like a fingerprint, you know, it's all different. Everybody's different. And so this person sat down and the information wasn't coming in like the Long Island medium. And I wanted to say, well, I don't have a camera crew. I don't have an editing team. I don't have, it's like, what do you want? Anyways, but you know, that's things people don't think about. You know, when they're filming that stuff, one, they probably have already asked the people they're approaching for permission. Mm-hmm. And if they haven't, then shame on them. Right. And then what they do is, you know, they stage some of that stuff. It's you have to do the show, because, you know, people want to see it and they want to believe that it's raw. But, you know, they have to stage some of that. How could you not see a camera crew coming at you? You know, so, you know, and then you act surprised and it's like,
on the third or fourth take.
Yeah. So, you know, some of that, don't believe everything you see. It doesn't always happen the way that it's being shown. I do think she's a phenomenal psychic, but they're not showing you everything. So, you know, it does look like she just randomly picks somebody up and reads them. And it's like, no, that's a no. You don't do that. So, you know, that's definitely something that I make sure people know, ask permission first.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. But that's exactly right. And I love that, the way you put that. Yes.
You know, the underwear drawer part of that?
That was the word I was trying to think. It's like, you know, it's what keeps coming in is like professional boundaries.
Yeah.
It's just this.
We want people to be comfortable with us. We don't want them to feel violated. You know, readings can be very personal. And they can go really deep. And if you're not a professional, you know, if you're getting a reading from somebody, also my other message for that, if you're getting a reading from someone that's telling you something negative, get up and walk away, because your angels, your guides, your loved ones that are in the light will never tell you anything fear-based, ever. That is the last thing they want for you, is to be afraid. And so if somebody is giving you fear-based information, walk away from it, because they're either making it up or they're pulling in energy that you don't want to be connected with.
Yeah, so. They're shading it with their own stuff, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, usually. But, yeah. You know, and it takes practice to pull your energy back and out of it to give a clean reading. And, you know, I remember going through phases like that. And like I said, I had amazing teachers, and they would call me out if they're like, well, do you think that you're influencing that with your own expectations or your, you know, and my own will for this person? And this is why it's easier to read somebody you have no attachments to, because yeah. you have no attachments to their outcome. But, you know, if a friend comes up and they're telling you their hard story, and then they want you to help, you know, tune into it, and it's kind of hard not to be a little biased in that and want for a certain answer to be the answer. So it's really hard to read those. And I usually tell them I can't.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. That's what I said. Yeah, if you have any attachments in any way to the outcome or anything, anything in there, it's really hard. Yeah. Like you said, it's better if you don't know the person involved, you don't know anything about it at all. If they're a complete stranger to you, it's much easier. I mean, the things come to you very quickly if you know nothing about it. It's amazing.
Yeah.
For me, it just drops out the sky to you. how do I know this? You
know? Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've had some of the weirdest things pop in my mind. And, you know, one gal, I was reading her and I kept seeing a rabbit. And I was like, I'm not going to say rabbit. What the heck? I don't even know what the rabbit is. Finally, it wouldn't go away. So I keep seeing a rabbit. And she just starts crying. I'm like, okay, never doubt it. Say it. You know, if you're seeing it, say it. It turned out that her and her husband had, for a while, had a rabbit farm and had lots of rabbits. And her husband was the one communicating that message through. And so she knew for sure it was him, because why would I say rabbit?
Really?
So anyways, for her, it was like the ultimate confirmation that he was okay. And he was on the other side and he was communicating. So, yeah. So when you see a rabbit, say rabbit.
Absolutely. Yeah. And well, like you said, that's how you're stepping out of the way. That's what I learned. It was like, it's coming in and you just don't analyze it. You know, it's coming in, just deliver it. Mm-hmm. Coming in, just deliver it. Don't analyze it. Don't do anything with it. Just give it. So.
Yeah. Yeah. I do a lot of describing pictures in my head because I won't know what they mean. And then. Mm. They'll mean something. And, you know, it's happened enough times that I don't doubt it anymore. But in the beginning, when you start reading, it's a little bit harder to trust it when you're thinking, am I making this up? What is this random weird thing that just popped in my head? But, you know, that's part of the process of trusting it, is you do throw it out there. And then when you get confirmation coming back, it helps you to get a little bit more secure that these pieces of information actually do mean something. So, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Very cool. So, okay. So, all right. So that was like a couple years ago that you, took this. So then, okay. So then it's just been, I know an exciting thing, to tell was you were wanting, this was our last show that we did. You were talking about how things change. Actually, unless you have something else that you want to do, another timeline from then to now, was how you were wanting to change your working situation. I'll just leave it at that and let you go. Okay, good. You know what I mean.
Yeah. Yeah. So I was doing the hypnosis and the readings as a part-time thing, evenings and weekends, and then I had a full-time job. And, you know, again, a method out there, the single mom thing, you know, and part of that's a belief system. And I knew it was a belief system, but I also throw in there that I am Capricorn, so I need security. And I knew that that was a part of my personality. So, you know, I'm in my own mind doing my own little dance and battle of, I know if I just take a leap of faith that things will be okay. And then there's the other part of me going, oh, but you need this paycheck. So I did my dance for a while, but boy, when it became time, like I hit that end of the timeline and it was time to say goodbye to the job, the amazing synchronicity, I had sat down with somebody that I had never had I did a reading trade with her. We were both at the same event and we just hit it off. And at the end of the event, we did a little trade and she just laid it out for me. Everything she said made sense. Everything that she put on those cards, the way it rolled out, I was like, you're just giving me so much confirmation. And I just made a decision in that moment. I'm going to quit. Mm. And I just knew I was going to do it. Like before I'd teeter. And now I'm just like, I know it. Well, all kinds of chaos broke loose with that. I was able to, you know, consolidate some debt that I needed to consolidate. My parents decided they were going to sell their car and the equity that I had in the car that I was driving. I sold my car and paid cash for their car and bought it for them from them. Both of our cars were the same year. Theirs had half the miles. They gave it to me for like probably $3,000 less than they could have gotten for it, you know? And, I was like, okay, now I don't have a car payment. And, a couple of other things just kind of lined up. I can't remember offhand what they were, but it just like my bills just went away. And it was incredible. I was just like, okay, that just happened. And I was like, well, that's just more confirmation. So I knew if I quit, I was going to lose my vacation. So I planned my vacation, took the trip, and came back. The first day I came back and I let them know I'm out of here. And, you know, and I did it on good terms. You know, I'm mm-hmm. still very much connected to that group. I was with them for 8 years. I don't want to be that kind of person to just, you know, be a snot and walk away. And they knew that I wanted to step into this full time. So they were a little bit surprised because they didn't see it coming because I had talked about it for so long. But, you know, there it was. It was finally there. And they were very supportive. And so that part was really nice. And, you know, they're like family. So that part was wonderful too, because that was part of the manifestation that I wanted to create, that I would be able to transition out of there on good terms. And so, yeah, it's been wonderful. That was in September. And I've been able to be home more for my kids. And, that's been nice. It's made a big shift at home. Everyone's in better moods because I'm actually there. And so, yeah. So that's my new reality.
And I think you were saying from the point that you had decided that you had decided and the point that it happened was just a very, very short period of time.
Yeah, it was.
Actually did. So it's like that, and that's what people need to understand. It's like when you really make the decision, it doesn't take very long for the universe to make things happen.
No.
You know, it just all falls into place. Like you said, see, it all just started bam, 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 bam. You know, it was a decision.
Yeah, it was. And even like the consolidation that I did, I went into the bank that I was doing that with and I said, are you guys still doing this special? And they said, today's the last day. I mean, I kid you not. It was just crazy how everything worked out. And then they all were very fun and easygoing. And I mean, I like to laugh, you know, I like to have a good time. I don't want to take life too serious. You know, I do that enough with other things. And so I go in there and I'm just kind of joking around with them. Now I go in there and they all say hi to me. It's like, mm-hmm. That's so nice. So, you know, that's part of the reality that I work on creating is mm-hmm. just being in joy. Like most of the day I'm in joy. And, you know, the things that used to bother me or worry me, not anymore. I know I'm taken care of. I know everything's falling into place. And there's a wonderful peace and calm about it. So yeah, I love this new reality. So yeah. let's keep that one rolling.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So
yeah, it's one that you just walk in trust and allow.
Right. Yeah. it, and it takes, you know, it took me a little bit to get there, but And you know, one of the things that we all can hope to be is an example for other people.
Yeah.
And, you know, I feel like that happens too. Like people are like, wow, how did you do that? And then, you know, and then I explain the process that I went through, and, you know, if something resonates for them, then they can make a shift and things start happening for them. And to me, that's just, it's just icing on that cake. So we can all have our cake and eat it and share it. And
yeah, absolutely. Well, I was going to say, well, probably, you know, those people that you were working with when you came back from your vacation and then you said you were leaving, you know, here they were saying, well, you know, you've been talking about it for so long and then now you're actually doing it. You know, they were probably, see, there you were. That was your example right there. It was like, they're going, oh my gosh, she's actually doing it. How did she do it?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. You know, can I do that?
Well, and you know, here's, as much as we work with that subconscious mind with the hypnosis process, my reality, my subconscious mind said, you can't do this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and mm-hmm. so the world that was created around me was a scenario where I couldn't make that work.
Yeah.
And then when I said, I'm doing it, all the dominoes fell and they got set up differently, you know, and it's like, now it's working. They're all falling into place. So, you know, and I have a aha moment around that as well, you know, with the looking back at that going, aha, look at that. My subconscious, that ego self wanted to create a scenario where I couldn't make that work. And then once I finally just anchored into it and said, I'm doing it, boom, it happens. So, you know, checking in with those deeper thoughts, the, you know, going in deeper, finding out what is the real belief system around this,
mm-hmm.
because that's going to be the stronger vibration. It's the one that's creating the reality. And when we can find where that fear is, then we can blow it out of there and create the reality we desire.
Yes, exactly. That's everything right there, because it's just a matter of a decision. So if you can't get yourself to that decision, like you said, then there's something behind it. So yeah. What is it that's keeping you from that? So, or then that belief, I know when people go, well, it can't be that simple. We were just talking about this the other day. We had
yeah.
Was that yesterday? It seems like, when was that? Yesterday?
Who knows? And does it matter? No.
Maybe it was 2 days again. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it was 2 days ago. I don't know.
No, it was. It was yesterday morning. I'm just letting you flander out there like a little fish out of water. What was that?
But we were talking about how when in that creation process, sometimes it's like that you have that Pollyanna moment, you know, thing. And mm-hmm. I was telling you, I think even that I did that too. When I had my guide, somebody was telling me, they were showing me how to do it, that process, and giving me the choices. And it's this choice or this choice. This is how you have these choices in how you look at things when you're making it's just a choice in to look at things in your creation, because it's just, you know, you can go this way or you can go this way. It's kind of that, you can go that way or you can look at it this way. And I was just like, well, that's so simplistic. And I'm having this conversation with this. And I said, well, that's so simplistic. That just seems Pollyanna to think I can just look this way and that's the way it can be. And that, you know, and just disregard this over here that the world is telling me is real, you know.
Yeah.
and they're like, well, you know, that's your choice, but that's the way it is.
Well, and that's just it. It's your choice, you mm-hmm. know. If you choose to look at the other things that you, the other illusions that are out there. I mean, if it's all an illusion, why not make it the one you want to look at?
Exactly. So. Exactly. And that's finally where I'm at. And it's like, and that's why I try to tell people, it's all an illusion. So, I mean, if I'm going to choose, then I choose this.
Yeah. my illusions got Ferris wheels and cotton candy.
Yeah, exactly.
And rose-colored glasses. I don't see a problem with that.
I don't care if you call me silly.
Because I'm happy in my little world of illusions. Yeah, exactly. And you know, there is some reality out there that affects all of us, you know, the grander illusion that is the collective. And yes, it's going to affect all of us. And no, we are not overlooking that. But everyone has their own reality. Every single person here has their own reality. And even if we're all looking at that same bigger picture that is the collective, we each have a different view of what's going on with it. So we're still creating our own reality in the collective.
Right. Well,
did that make sense?
Everybody within that, you know, because like you said, you're creating within it. And by you doing that, you are changing. You are creating the collective.
Yeah.
So, and then also you have your own reaction. So see, and I was saying you can't control something. So maybe, but you can control your reaction. So it's like, you know, so always I'm going to be determining that. So it's like, okay, maybe I can't, you know, if that is, you know, this mass collective thing that's out there. Okay. That's going on, but I'm still going to be in charge of something that I'm in charge of.
Yeah, let's create an illusion where the collective is enjoying peace and a happy life, where there's enough for everyone. That's the illusion that we need to create now.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And you know, there is enough for everyone. So this other illusion that's going on out there, where there's poverty and homelessness and illnesses and everything else, you know, we don't have to bite into that. But
Right. Yeah,
if we could just get everybody on board with this, Julia, let's just make everybody Pollyanna today.
Well, exactly.
Raise your hand if you would like to be in our world.
Yeah. Because like you said, there is enough for everyone. It's just a matter of distribution.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. That's it. You know, it's just getting it out there, you know. So, you know, that's it.
Now, you know, I think one of the other messages that's out there really big right now in the spiritual circle is that in order for us to create in this happy place, we need to be kind. You know, if you want to be a happy person, if you want to create a wonderful life for yourself, kindness really helps. You know, kindness helps you to bring your vibration up to a level where you are creating in that high vibration. You're creating from those wonderful places. So, you know, that's another thing. Look at how you are in the world. Are you being kind? Are you reacting from a place of love? Or are you reacting from a place of wanting to be right? You know, that's one of the big questions that, you know, all coaches ask you. It's like,
yeah.
Or, where are you reacting from?
Yeah. But, or fear or.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Look at what's behind it again. Yeah.
Yeah. And
whatever, you know, the actions. Mm-hmm. That's a good point. Very good point.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm not sitting here trying to say I've got it all figured out. I'm just sharing the experiences that I'm having as I'm learning.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's like, of course, there's going to be more to learn. And there's going to be days where, you know, I step off of that 5D earth version of what I would love for my life and step back into a 3D version. Let's say, you know, I've got three teenage boys.
They keep you grounded, I'm sure.
They keep me grounded. They keep pulling that other foot back into that 3D reality. And, you know, so finding that balance, we're all learning, we're all growing in this area, and, you know, we're evolving, and it's exciting. Mm-hmm. And, you know, some of the new kids that are coming in, do you ever talk about that?
The one, yes, these, you do. Uh-huh. Yeah. What experiences have you been having with them?
Other than I want to put them all in my pocket and keep them.
Yeah.
I get in trouble when I do that. You know, I've had these amazing, amazing souls come to me. And without doing the work that I've done with you guys, with the QHHT, I don't know that I would have recognized them, say, 5-10 years ago. Yeah. But, you know, here they are sitting down in front of me, and it's like, bam. And I can't tell you how many times I slide a little card over that says, look up three waves of volunteers.
Yeah.
And I'm like, please go read that. If it resonates with you, let's talk more. And, but, you know, they just don't know who they are yet. And right. It's amazing. And it's fun to help people figure it out. You know, and I know that that's part of why I'm here, and that's why I found you, and that's why people made sure I got there. So, you know, it's an incredible journey, and the greatest satisfaction of all is when you help somebody else find out why do they feel homesick? What is that void? You know, and share with them how they can further investigate that and have the resources to give them, to help them find that. So that's where I really appreciate you guys and the work that you've done over there with the QHHT training and the publishing and the books. And, you know, your mom did a lot of work setting a stage for the rest of us. So we're sending our love out to her as well.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Well, thank you for that. She probably has an idea now, but before she had no idea. You know, she's like, she was just doing her thing.
Yeah.
So,
but you know, that had to be some amazing, I mean, she had to really take some courage to step out there with the subjects that she would write on.
Oh, yeah.
And that had to be such an amazing confirmation to have so many people come forward and say, thank you. Without this, I was so lost.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Every place we went, and constantly she was getting emails and, you know, saying that, and so many times emails coming in just saying, you know, I think I'm going crazy or something. And it was just, and it's not going crazy. It's just,
I was going to say, was she ever tempted to go, yeah, I think you are.
Yeah.
No, that would be bad. Sorry.
Oh, no. You know, but they're always just like, oh, I know you've never, you know, I know you probably think I'm crazy, but, and it was like, she'd say, I hear this all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. And I suppose she would, because people, you know, it's not the norm. It's not your mainstream way of feeling. And, you know, you're told life looks like this.
Yeah.
And you're like, but it doesn't.
Right.
You
but
know,
the first thing that was so wonderful to them was to realize that they weren't alone. They weren't the first person that had said that to her.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the good news.
Right.
But, you know, I remember being, you know, I grew up Catholic, so I remember being in church one day here, and the priest was talking about purgatory.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember sitting there thinking, isn't he describing where we are right now? You know, and it just made so much sense to me that that's like, this is purgatory. We're all here trying to figure it out and trying to get our way back to heaven, but we're not in hell, you know? And so I just thought that was, I was pretty young when I was thinking that thought, you know, and then there was another time where the preschool teacher or whatever, you know, the little Sunday school teacher was talking to us about Adam and Eve, and I just about wanted to walk out. I was like, that just, does that make sense to anybody? I was like, there's a flaw in your story.
Yeah.
These two are the only two on the planet, and then they have children, and then those children walk off to the city. Who made the city?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, there's a big gap.
There's a gap here. And so then I remember I asked somebody that, who made the city? And where did the other people come from?
And did they ever have an answer?
Oh, yeah. They were like, oh, well, back then people lived hundreds of years. So Adam and Eve had several children, and then they went off and created the cities, and they had this big old story. I'm like,
like that made sense?
Yeah. Okay, try again. So, you know, and the part that is probably most disturbing to me is nobody questions those things.
Right.
You know, an authority figure told me, so therefore it is.
Yeah, exactly.
And we don't question it. And it's like, there's so much more out there. Question everything.
Mm-hmm.
Question everything. And then make your own decision on whether it feels right for you or not. Don't just take someone else's word for it.
Yeah.
And that goes for Facebook. I'm just kidding.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Yes.
Please don't just take Facebook's word for it. Go out and explore and investigate.
Mm-hmm.
So, oh my gosh, the new church, our Facebook church. No, but you know, there was a lot of things growing up. Growing up Catholic was an amazing experience. I got to learn about saints and angels and that we could call on them and how they help us and that type of thing. So, you know, when you go into the psychic world and you have a room full of psychics and you said, how many people grew up Catholic, probably 80% or more of the hands would go up. And I always wondered, why is that? But, you know, I'm curious, you know, it'd be interesting to find out what people think on that. But my thought is because a Catholic religion did believe in talking to saints and to the angels and calling on them for help and doing that, where other religions are like, we call on God. It's like, well, we all call on God. Those are God's little helpers. It's like, so I think that was part of why that happens, because without my angels, you know, without me calling on my angels, I don't think I'd be where I am today. I would get in my car. My mom always taught me to say a prayer to the angels to guard me in the car. So I'd get in the car and I would say, God, please send me angels to guide me, protect me, and keep me safe, or whatever, you know, and I'd drive off. And later I got to thinking, I was like, oh, I invited them in to guide me. I never thought about that. But, you know, we have free will. They can't come help us unless we call them in to guide us. And here I was doing it without realizing the stage I was setting for that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I know that they've kept me out of car accidents. And one time I was driving the vehicle I had, and I heard very clearly, if you don't sell this vehicle, you will get in a car accident. And so I did. I went and got a different vehicle. And then after I did that, I was talking to somebody and they said, did you get a new car? I said, yeah. I didn't want to explain to him why I did that. So I made some reason up for getting the new car. She goes, I'm really glad you did. I almost hit you the other day. Kid you not. Confirmation that I would have gotten in a car accident in that car. And it was a little beige car.
Overtime.
Yeah.
So are you aware of, is there a specific being or anything that works with you right now? Like when you...
You know, you said that and I just got chills all up and down.
Okay.
You know, when I first started doing my tuning into the guides, you know, before I have always known about the angels, I didn't always know about the guides. And when I first started tuning into them, I had this guide that was an Indian woman and from India, not Native American, but Indian. Mm-hmm. And she had the little red dot in her forehead and everything. And I called her Anna. And she's always with me. She's always around. I have a shaman guide that comes in and works with me. And then the newest one, and I think we talked about this the other day, has very much Atlantean energy. I think there's actually two of them, but it's either one that's very balanced with masculine, feminine, or it's two of them. And so that I'm not as clear on. I just know that the information comes in a little bit different and it's really intense, and which is fun. You know, it's like some really magical things will come through when I work through using those guides. Mm-hmm. And and what I've noticed is as I keep bringing my energy up, I keep having access to something new, you know. I don't know if it's letting go of, I'm not going to say I don't know. It is because as we let go of the fear, we let go of the fear and we step into knowing we are taken care of and all of that, we rise that vibration up. And when the fear's not there anymore, that brings us to a new level of communication with beings that we haven't been able to communicate with before because they couldn't come around our fear. So, so that's what I've been shown, is that as we let go of the fear, we are going to get, and we're just going to keep rising up and getting more help from even higher vibrational beings. So if you thought your angels were awesome, and they are, it's not to say that one's better than the other, but it is different, and it's kind of fun to experience the different and the new. So I'm having fun with it.
Oh, yeah. What, this just came in, so I don't know what.
Okay. Wait, we need to do that.
Yeah.
Just in.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. We'd be trouble on television.
I know that one time we had the video on and we were doing all kinds of things back and forth.
I know.
Yeah. So yeah, that could be interesting. Okay, could be dangerous.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't give me visual. I will distract you on every level I can if you give me a visual. It's terrible.
I'll do the funny things back at you. Right. So, I'm hearing Earth things. So what are you getting messages on Earth stuff? Because you keep talking about the raising vibrations and stuff. So yeah. Are you getting, okay. So it was like, it was, yeah. So I'm.
Well, when you asked that question, what popped in for me, because yeah, I think anyone doing this kind of work is kind of getting Earth things. Mm-hmm. But the thing that popped in when you asked that question, I'll just go ahead and share that is, you know, we are experiencing duality. So my experience, or what I have noticed, is as the spiritual group keeps growing, as the awakened ones keep growing and keep finding out who they are, they keep raising that vibration on that side. So what needs to happen? Balance.
Yeah.
So chaos is growing. You know, the fear is growing on the other side. And so that's the one thing that I've noticed. It's almost like there's no gray area, no in between anymore. It's like you're either, you know, having a really big struggle or you're in bliss. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, and it's not to say there isn't an in between, but it's very, you know, it's not near what it used to be. It's kind of more black and white now. As we raise the vibration, we create balance with the duality. Now, I ask them, can we break through that, or are we always going to be in duality? And of course, we'll break through it. You know, we will, once we get the balance, or create the off balance where more people are in that awakened state, I think that's when we will get the collective information of how to break that pattern. So,
okay,
that was that.
Yeah, that's super, and that's big. That's big. Tracy, real quick before we run out of time, how can people find you if they want to contact you?
You go into a deep meditation.
Yes.
No. Or you get on, ask me to come in your dream state and I'll come talk to you. Now, go to TracyMahan.com. That's got all my information. Or you can find me on Facebook, Tracy Mahan, CHT. And those are the two best ways, but it's TRACIE. MAHAN like Nancy.com. So that's just because I like to spell my name different is why I do that. Mm-hmm. So yeah, find me over on my website, my contact information and everything I do is there.
Fantastic. Okay. Well, looks like we're about there. Yeah. We're winding up, and thank you again so much for being here. I love you. And I can't wait to be with you on the next Thursday, the 2nd.
Yes.
The show.
So yes, and we'll push that out there. And thank you for having me. Love you, too.
Love you.
You guys have a good night.
Thank you. Love you all. And we'll see you next time. Good night, everyone.